In 2 weeks, Michigan legislators will begin hearings on how to improve teacher evaluations in our state. They'll consider a new plan submitted recently by the Michigan Council on Educator Effectiveness. That's an independent body created by Governor Rick Snyder and the legislature 2 years ago after the passage of teacher tenure reform here in Michigan. One of the council's main recommendations is that, beginning in 2 years, half of a teacher's evaluation be based on classroom practices and half on student growth based on test scores. Key members of the MCEE have been getting lots of questions and feedback about their plan. Yesterday, the Detroit Free Press hosted a live web chat with some of those members. We thought it was a pretty good opportunity to check in on the process. And joining us to do that is David Venzel, the principal of Jefferson High School in Monroe, Michigan. Mr. Venzel was also a voting member of the MCEE that studied the issue and wrote this plan. David Venzel, welcome.
Thank you. Good morning.
Tell us more about this plan to base half of a teacher's evaluation on classroom practice and the other half on student growth. I take it the student growth portion is generating more discussion than the classroom practice?
You know, I would say it's probably equal, and depending on what group of educators you speak with, I know there's a little bit of anxiousness and trepidation on those that are going to be affected by this. But really, we've spent the last 18 months as a council trying to come up with recommendations that really will help all of us improve our practice, and by doing that, we will help students really achieve at a higher level. So the recommendations affect not only the classroom teachers, but also administrators like myself. So I think they're really equal. And what's going to happen is when we get to the 2015-16 school year, when hopefully there's full implementation of the recommendations, that's when 50% of a teacher's and an administrator's evaluation will be based on student growth.
And is it clear, or is it even becoming clear, how that student growth would be measured?
Well, I think it's becoming clear, and I really think it'll be a work in progress over the next couple of years. And one of the recommendations that we made was that because to follow the letter of the law, the actual student growth portion was should take effect this year with the 13-14 school year. In the original writing of the law, it said that the first year, which would be this year, student growth would count for 25% of a teacher's evaluation. And then next year, 14-15, it would count 40%. And finally, in 15-16 school year, when it's fully implemented, it would count half of the evaluation. So I think one of our recommendations is that if districts, there are some districts that are ahead of the game on this and that are ready, and they've worked in collaboration with their teacher groups and with their administrative groups, and they feel confident in what they're using to measure student growth. For those districts, they can begin using student growth in full scale this year. But for those that aren't at that point, then one of the recommendations of the council would be that it may behoove them to pilot student growth for the next couple of years so they can figure it out.
Would it use standardized tests?
A portion would be standardized tests, and you know, part of what we studied also was the concept of value-added modeling, where you use standardized tests and you really try to determine what influence and what input did a teacher have as far as a student's growth, and you use statistical models to try to break that down. At this point in time for the state of Michigan, the only tests that really will help us with that are the MEEP tests in reading and mathematics in grades 4 through 8. At the high school level, which I'm at, the only standardized test that we're using right now is the Michigan Merit Exam, which is administered in the 11th grade school year, and a portion of that Michigan Merit Exam includes the ACT. So we're not in a position to use standardized tests across the board K-12 yet, but hopefully by the 15-16 school year, there will be more of those types of assessments in place so that we can do that. But part of the evaluation tools used to measure student growth will include other forms, which can be developed at the district level.
And I see a teacher would be dismissed after 2 years of an ineffective rating. How is the reception to that been, and how does that differ from the kind of system that we have now?
Well, I and you got to remember that I'll paraphrase our vision, but our vision is really to develop a system that really focuses on improvement. And in no way, shape, or form do we want it to be punitive. So we want a system that's going to help us all get better. The original writing of the law called for four categories of teacher evaluation, with the top category being highly effective, and then effective, minimally effective, and ineffective. And our recommendation is to limit that to three categories, with the top category being professional, the second category being provisional, and then the third category being ineffective. And if a teacher is ranked in the ineffective category for a period of time, like you said, for 2 years, then it is major cause for concern. But the responsibility for administrators like myself is to try to help that teacher get on track and try to improve their practice. And one of the reasons that we felt strongly with three categories, with the top category being professional, is that highly effective with four categories makes it seem as if that's it. You know, if you're there, you can't get any better. And with professional as a category, we fully expect that the teacher in the professional category is going to set up a game plan, and part of the recommendations are that at the end of the school year, when you give your final summative evaluation to the teacher, regardless of whether or not he or she lands in the professional category, that you establish goals for the coming year, for the upcoming year. And so we're always trying to help teachers get better, and also to help principals get better.
But what has the MEA and the American Federation of Teachers, for example, what have they had to say about this dismissal option after 2 years of an ineffective rating? Are they actively resisting it? I mean, they played some kind of role in the process coming up with the plan, right?
Yes, and you know, I think it's probably a question better to ask them, but I do think that they seem to be receptive to the three categories versus the four categories. I think there is some concern that they want to ensure a process where there's fairness across the board, and that the tools that we use, the observation tools, and then the tools that we use as far as measuring student growth are fair, and that they're transparent, and that they're reliable, and that they're valid, so that teachers get a fair shake.
But David, are they actively resisting this dismissal after 2 years of ineffect? Are they actively resisting that, or are they on board with that?
No, I think they're on board with it.
Okay. What a person who pays very close attention to this told me yesterday that all the recommendations together constitute a sea change in teacher evaluation. Do you agree?
I would agree.
And why? How does it so dramatically contrast with the system that we've had up until this point?
Well, for one thing, under the old system, at least for the majority of districts, a teacher was evaluated probably every 3 years, and it depended on the contract that was in place with the particular teaching group. Now, with the new law, that teachers are going to be evaluated every year, and so it gives us all a chance to kind of review and look at our practice and say, how can we get better at it? And there's going to be we're going to have to measure student growth, and so I think there's going to be a more of an emphasis on making sure that every student that enters the classroom of a teacher is going to have the focus of that teacher. So I think it's just going to be more intensive, and I think that if we can hold to our mission and our vision, that the whole purpose of this law is to help us all get better as educators so that students can achieve at a higher level, then we'll be okay with it. But I do think there's going to be some growing pains as we try to figure out how we're going to use student growth and what tools we're going to use to measure student growth. There's going to be some growing pains as we determine what observation tools that we're going to put in place. Now, we did pilot four observation tools, and you know, once this goes to the legislature, and hopefully they'll support our recommendations, then the state will put out an RFP for one of those four to be the state-recommended tool for observations.
We're talking with David Venzel about changing Michigan teacher evaluations here in the state. I know the legislature doesn't begin hearings on this for two more weeks, but have you heard from any of the Education Committee members, Senator Pavlo, or anyone else about the plan?
We did have an opportunity to meet with Senator Pavlov and Majority Leader Richerville before the final report came out, just to give them an update. And I will tell you that they have been supportive for the entire process, and Senator Pavlov has been very supportive of our work, and we really had to ask for an extension because I think the original timeline wanted it done at a much quicker pace, I think within a full year, and it took us over 18 months to complete our work. He was very supportive of that, and I'm hopeful that they're going to accept our recommendations.
I'm curious how you think politics may impact your plan. Do you anticipate a particular response from Democrats in the legislature?
No, I don't think so. I think there should be bipartisan support on this kind of an issue.
I know your group recommended against tying pay incentives to performance, and that one proposal in the legislature would do just that. Why, in your view, is tying bonuses to high performance a poor idea?
I think it is. I think it is.
Why?
I think it's very complicated in how we evaluate teachers in public school settings, and it's sometimes it's very difficult to measure. And I'll use my high school building as an example. We need to establish a culture where all of our professionals in this building are collegial and they want to help each other, not a situation where they're in competition on who's going to get a bonus based on test scores or who's going to get a bonus based on having a professional rating versus a provisional rating. Or, you know, it's very difficult. It's very difficult to sustain that kind of work. And we want veteran teachers who are really extremely effective in the classroom, sharing their knowledge with those that are entering the profession. So we want the in my math department, I want my 20-year teachers helping out my first-year teachers and my second-year teachers so that they can really be effective.
A related issue, David, is funding for training people to do these assessments. How important is that?
It's essential. It's essential, and the training has to come from whatever vendor that you're going to use. So, if the state through the RFP process selects one of the vendors, and they're going to, what our recommendation is that they provide funding now to complete the training, and the training would be administered by the vendor, so that we know exactly what the purpose of their observation tool is, and that everybody's on the same page as far as understanding the language that is used. And then districts would have the opportunity to choose one of the other three that were part of the pilot, and then the recommendation would be that the state would fund up to the point of the funding for the one that was selected by the state. So we think it's just absolutely essential that there's training. And training not only for the people that are going to be doing the observations, but training for the teachers are going to be on the receiving end of the observations.
David Venzel is the principal of Jefferson High School in Monroe, Michigan. Mr. Venzel was also a voting member of the Michigan Council on Educator Effectiveness that studied how to strengthen teacher evaluations in our state. David Venzel, thank you very much.
Thank you.